The Lord meets us in his word. May he open our hearts to see him, to believe in him, and to love him. Mark 6:29-34. Page 1000. When his disciples heard of the death of John the Baptist, how Herod beheaded him, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is God's word. May he bless us by it and build our faith. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this miracle always reminds me of the retort in Psalm 78 when Israel is out in the wilderness traveling from Egypt to the promised land, and there's no food, and they complain to Moses. And they yell at him, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" Like, of course he can't. And he did, manna from heaven every day. In a way, that's the question that we face in our lives every day, living in the wilderness of this world, experiencing troubles of various kinds. Can God really supply my needs in this wilderness? Of course not. I'm stuck here alone. It's one of my favorite miracles which Jesus did, not because I like food, which I do, but because it tells so much about who Jesus is as a powerful and loving Savior and Shepherd. It shows us who he is and how he supplies and satisfies our needs. And maybe you wonder whether God loves you after what you've done this week. Can he really love me? Maybe you wonder whether God can care for you as you face cancer, or as you worry about your family, or as you feel your faith growing cold, and you're just going through the motions. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Oh, may God enable us here to see the glory of Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep who can and does spread a table in the wilderness and richly provides all our needs. And we're being called in this miracle to come to him in faith and eat from him and drink from him the food that leads to eternal life, not just the food that perishes, but the food that leads to eternal life, his own death and resurrection. That's what we're being called to do here. Because as you read through this miracle and the next ones, the point of these miracles is to lead the disciples to say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's to lead us to believe in him and to commit our lives to him as our Messiah and shepherd. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? In this miracle, we see how Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, sees and cares about our needs. We meet here a shepherd of pity who sees our need. A shepherd of power who multiplies the bread and the fish, and a shepherd of plenty who leaves us with plenty left over after we've eaten our fill. Shepherd of pity. Now imagine going on a retreat. You lead a very stressful life, physically, mentally. You deal with clients. You lead a very stressful life. And so you and your friends, or you and your family, you and your spouse decide you're going to a remote lodge somewhere, and you get there, and before you unpack your stuff, no, even before you get there, hundreds of your clients have gathered for more help. This is exactly what's going on here in the context of this miracle. The disciples have just returned from a very busy mission trip, going out two by two. You read that earlier in Mark 6. They've been going from village to village, preaching, proclaiming the kingdom, doing miracles, facing rejection, facing persecution. And they've just completed their trip, and they've come back together to share their stories, their experiences. But something else has happened. They've heard along the way that John the Baptist has been beheaded by Herod. And if Herod's going to go after John and his disciples, we're next. Lots of stress. And Jesus, our kind Savior and Shepherd, says to them, verse 31, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. He knows we can only handle so much. He knows we need a rest. He knows that also personally, because he's truly human and he got weary and he needed rest and time away from it all as well. And so when they get back and they start this time of debriefing, it's so busy there. People are coming and going. They don't even have the leisure to eat that Jesus says, okay, come away by yourselves. And that's what they did. But people found out where they were going, and they ran there ahead of Jesus and his disciples on foot, not by the hundreds, but by the thousands. And their retreat is destroyed. I can imagine the disciples. What? Send them away. And Jesus not only has pity on his disciples who need a retreat, his 12, but in all these crowds, thousands of people who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I mean, their shepherd is Herod, a godless man, a false teacher. Pharisees who don't know the truth. They have no peace with God. They have no way out of their sin. They have no help, no refuge in time of trouble. And Jesus looks on them and pities them. And though he's weary and the disciples are weary, we can't send them away. These guys need good news. And so he teaches. And the disciples are there too. And you know, this is exactly why Jesus came, to be that shepherd that Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the other prophets prophesied, who would gather the sheep who are harassed and scattered by false teachers. Listen to these words from Ezekiel 34 about the shepherd who was coming. God says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will search for my sheep. I will make them lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the straying. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I will rescue my flock. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. And he shall feed them and be their shepherd." That's what's going on here. God has sent his servant David, the son of David, to be exactly the new and the true shepherd of Israel that we all need. The one who's not in it for himself, to lie in his own pocket and to gain power and fame, but is ready to give himself up. Even when he's tired like this, to keep offering himself more and more and more until it kills him. Brothers and sisters, you have a good shepherd who sees you in your need, whether it's physical and you need bread, or spiritual and you need quietness, you need peace. You need security. He cares. And he cares deeply. And he will serve you even if it kills him. And that's what he did finally, going all the way to the cross. And in his death, destroying our death, our sin and our judgment as the Passover lamb. For the disciples too, sometimes when we need rest, and Jesus knows we need rest, God will interrupt that rest and will surprise us that very interruption that we thought would kill us is what we needed to encourage us. That's what happened here in this interruption. The miracle comes and the disciples say, "We thought the interruption was going to kill us, all these clients." And it's exactly what we needed. So don't close the door to God surprising you. When you think what you needed is not really what you need, God knew even better what you needed, as Jesus did with his disciples. Brothers and sisters, we have such a caring shepherd who sees your needs, who knows you need rest from the weariness that the world brings into your life, the family conflicts, the financial pressures, the COVID weariness, it gets us all. The worries of raising children, don't you have that? Your own struggle with sin. Now, Mark mentions the 5,000, but Matthew adds plus women, plus children. Men and women, and you little ones, you children, you have worries too. Do you know that Jesus sees you too in the crowd? He cares for you too. He hears your prayers. He knows exactly what you're going through. Don't be afraid to come to him. Well, secondly, we meet here the shepherd of power. Sometimes we can pity a person in his need or her need, but just not have the resources to take care of him, or have to take quite a while to go about getting them. Jesus not only sees the need, but he supplies it by his own power. And he provides a full table for these people in the wilderness. And Jesus is doing something very unique here. He's actually recreating Moses and Israel in Sinai, the wilderness of Sinai. It's a bit of a replay of that. Remember Moses and Israel on their pilgrim journey through the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land, and they're in a desolate place. And that's what Jesus is stressing here three times. Come away to a desolate place. So they came to a desolate place. Can we find food in this desolate place? Empty. A desert region. Now, they sit down on a spot of green grass, so it's not totally desolate, but it's remote. It's wilderness-like. And there's no food. You give them something to eat, Jesus says to his disciples when nighttime comes and nobody's had food that day all day. And the disciples say, send them away. We don't want to deal with this. We can't deal with it. Send them away. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. What a ridiculous command. Really? It would take 200 denarii to buy bread for this crowd. That's 200 daily wages, one denarii per day. And I don't see the grocery stores, Jesus, do you? Do you see them? So in their minds, this is ridiculous. This is impossible. But Jesus is not only teaching the crowds who he is, but Israel's future leaders who he is. He's going to send them out as apostles to feed the nations, make disciples of all nations, and to take the bread of life and distribute it. He's also teaching them. You give them something to eat. Well, we don't have enough money. And where are the stores? And then Jesus makes it even more impossible for them. How many loaves do you have? No, I don't mean go and buy something. And I don't mean go to the store. I mean, do it with what you've got. Go and see. Let's just use what's right here. And so they go out and find out what's available. Oh, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And as Andrew says in the Gospel of John, what's that for so many? And then what does Jesus do? Oh, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Good. We're good to go. And he commands them, we read. He commands them to sit down. And not just to sit down, helter-skelter, but in orderly fashion and arrange in groups of hundreds and fifties, just like Moses in the wilderness, Exodus 18. And Jesus is showing himself to be the new Moses, the true Messiah who's sent to gather together the scattered sheep of Israel in order to order and arrange their lives God's way. And then comes the great miracle, even far greater than Moses giving them manna from heaven. This greater than Moses takes bread and fish. He looks up to heaven. He asks God to bless this food. And then he starts breaking. Breaking the bread. And giving it to his disciples. And the disciples have these baskets. And as Jesus breaks the bread and fills the baskets, they hand it out. They come back for more. Jesus keeps breaking bread and filling the baskets again. And it's not that the loaf has grown. It's just that every time he breaks off a piece, the loaf is still there. The shepherd is God who can do anything for you. And with a word, he multiplies the molecular structure of these little loaves of bread and these 2 fish. Because this shepherd is the creator God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. All power is in the hands of your Savior, brothers and sisters. Nothing he cannot do for you. Follow him and your life will be complete. Your life will be full. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that's really the message. The message of Psalm 23. I'm the fulfillment of that. As they sit down there on the green grass, they're already singing it, aren't they? That's whatever the tune they used. Listen, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies in the wilderness. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Says Jesus, first with the bread, then it's done all over again with the fish. We read they're done separately, so they get to see it twice over. And the message for the disciples is, I have power for you to feed the nations with the gospel. To fulfill the Great Commission, go therefore. You don't have what it takes, but I do. I will give and give and give and give. And therefore, you will never run out of strength and good news for all people. And so they thought their quiet time was ruined, but God used this to renew and encourage their faith. It's not only a message for the disciples, but for all of us. Jesus is more than enough power for you in your life, in your wilderness, in your emptiness. Sometimes we do run out. We do. Sometimes life is too much for us. Not just seems too much. It is. Let's never get the idea that God never gives you more than... No. He will give you more than you can handle. And in fact, he kind of likes doing that. And then in our impossibility, the powerful shepherd of the sheep steps in, presents us with his glory, and says, I am enough for you. And he supplies us. He provides. He's powerful. I think of the task of pastors, elders, and deacons. Sometimes taking care of God's sheep doesn't just seem like too much. It is. But Jesus' power is sufficient for you, brothers, to do all your work and more. With the Lord as your shepherd, his grace is sufficient for you in your weakness to do hard things, great things, and impossible things. Follow him, everyone. Come to him. And you will not want. He'll supply your need. He'll make you complete. He'll make you full. And that's what we see thirdly. He's the shepherd of plenty. This miracle has such a great ending with five layers of plenty. If you look at the end of the miracle, verse 42 and 43. First layer of plenty, they all ate. Nobody got skipped over. Even the children ate. Number two, they were satisfied. And that word means they were full. Fattened is the word. I don't think I can have another piece. Kind of full. They all ate. Layer two, they were satisfied. Layer three, they took 12 baskets of broken pieces left over. It's a lot more than they started with. Layer four, these baskets were full as well. And that word full means they couldn't fit another piece on. No room left. Fifth layer, those who ate were 5,000 men. If you go to Matthew, sixth layer, besides women and children. point of the miracle. Again, we're in a section of Christ's ministry where Jesus is doing many miracles alongside teaching, amazing teaching, with amazing authority, to lead his disciples to confess, see and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. And that's what Jesus is revealing to you here today. To me, it's about bread, but much more than bread. Not only seeing that he can give you bread, but he is the bread of life. And you must believe in him in order that you may have life and your life may be renewed, because if you don't, your life will give way to worry, fear, anger and fretting, bitterness, frustration, because instead of taking it out on Jesus, you take it out on other people. Take it out on Jesus. In this sense, come to him. Come to him. Because he keeps your faith going. He keeps your life growing in him. Now, Mark implies what John actually records. In John 6, what does Jesus say right after the feeding of the 5,000? Listen to what John says, or Jesus says, as recorded by John in John 6. Right after the feeding, this event, feeding the 5,000, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, who comes down from heaven to give life to the world. Anyone who eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my own flesh." It's about bread and much more than bread. I'm the bread of life. The bread you really need to eat is me, says Jesus. My own flesh. He's going to give his life, his body and blood on the tree of the cross to take care of the biggest, the deepest, and really all the problems in your life and mine. Sin, guilt, death, evil, curse, judgment, hell. And along with that, lack of strength, lack of righteousness, lack of holiness, lack of right thinking. And by his resurrection, he's going to fill our lack, take away what's wrong and replace it with what's right. Through his own flesh, his own death on the cross, and his resurrection. And fill you with plenty. Fill you with plenty. Because you need Jesus even more than your daily bread, brothers and sisters. Let me mention three ways in which you need him and I need him every day. You need him for the forgiveness of your sins. You need him, the bread of life, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Maybe you've never come to him seriously for forgiveness. And you've been walking in the pride of life and pointing the finger at everybody else and looking for the problems in all the wrong places. And strutting about in your own self-sufficiency. And you need to know that Jesus is for you. And there's forgiveness of all your sins in him. Maybe you've been a believer many years. You know what? You need forgiveness again, don't you? And you know it. But with our God, says Isaiah 55, is not just pardon, but abundant pardon, plenty of pardon. There's always more. Where that came from. The flesh of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus shed for you. Always more. Plenty. Plenteous redemption, Psalm 130. Abundant pardon, Isaiah 55. Or another illustration of the plenty of Jesus. I don't have enough strength, do you, to face your daily trials and endure your hardships. There's just too much going on. But his grace is sufficient for us. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection unto eternal life, his power is made perfect in your weakness. In him you do have what it takes. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul says we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Whether we face tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. Doesn't say we will be, we are. In Christ. Gave up his life for us. You have more than enough strength. Fullness of strength for all he's calling you to do right now. And the third application is love. You need him for love too, because love is hard. Back then and today, it's hard to love people. So much in us that makes it hard for me to love people. My sin of self-love and impatience and bitterness. And there's so much in other people that makes it hard for me to love them too. Their annoying quirks and frustrating inconsistencies, their sins, their habits, the fact that they don't see things the way that I do. So much in others that makes it hard for me to love them too. But I see in the Christ who loved me so much, even when I was his enemy, that he gave up his life for me, that he's got what I need. And he says, come to me for more. And that's the message of 1 John. God is love. He gave up his son for love. As you have been loved by God, so you love one another. He is everything. He's got everything. J.C. Ryle writes this in his commentary. We live in the midst of an evil world where many are against us, evil world. We carry within us a weak heart, ready at any moment to turn aside from what's right. Weak heart. And thirdly, at every moment, we face a busy devil who seeks to lead us into temptation continually. Where shall we turn for comfort? What will keep my faith going? What will preserve me from sinking into despair? There's only one answer, he writes. We must look to Jesus. We must rest in his almighty power and his perfect love. We have from God a shepherd of pity, power, and plenty who has come for you, for me. Let's come to him in faith. Believing that he will supply all we need and far more than we could ask or imagine. Amen.